the Lord of my soul and the Lord is within me. And we bless his holy and righteous name. Come on, let's give God another hand clap of praise. Anybody in the house who can remember not too long ago, we were locked down.
Amen.
I thought we would have got a bigger amen than that. Amen.
Amen.
No places.
Amen.
You know, we couldn't sit next to people that weren't in our houses without wearing a mask.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
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 We never did so much praying here. We never did so much praying. We prayed more in the last year than we probably did in the last 20 years of our lives.
Amen.
Asking God to please do something about what we've been experiencing. Amen. Bless the Lord. So to Brother Kevin and to Sister Becky and to Moms and Sister Barbara and all that they do down here at the Wilderness Ministries, it's such a blessing. I've been coming to this place since 2001. And I don't think I've aged a bit. God bring the glory. There's something about serving God and being in the right place at the right time, every time. Amen.
Yeah.
It certainly makes a difference to those who have traveled here from Hopewell, to Sister Terry, to Deaconess Webster, to Deaconess Jessup and her handsome husband, Deacon Jessup, to Sister Sue Mott. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. I met Sister Sudie Mott years ago. She came to another previous church I was pastoring, and she pulled on side the road there one Sunday, and she said, "Do y'all mind if I worship with y'all?" Amen. That's been about 13, 14 years ago, and she's been traveling with us ever since. Amen. So we thank God for her being here. There's three reasons why I'm excited. First of all, because in spite of this pandemic that we've been in and what we've been experiencing, not just the pandemic, but we still have experienced personal things in our lives. In spite of everything, God is still in control.
Hallelujah.
He's still in control. He's still God. The second reason why I'm excited today is because, you know, we haven't dotted every I, we haven't crossed every T, but there's still a word coming from the Lord. God is faithful, amen, and ministering to us in spite of ourselves. The third reason why I'm excited today is because you all could have stayed at home, you could have been sleeping, but you chose to come here and take part in the worship. So let's give yourselves a hand clap of praise. I won't keep you long this morning. I've got another service I need to do at 11 o'clock, and I've got to travel to get there, but I want to take long enough. I want to call your attention to the gospel according to John chapter 12. The gospel according to John chapter 12. I pray that you have your Bibles with you. If not, you can get you one. It's very important. I'm one of those preachers that just preach right down the text because I don't want you to think I'm making anything up. So open up your Bibles and follow along with me in John chapter 12. And when you get there, if you just either say amen or rest on your feet, however you want to do it, it's fine. I want to begin reading at verse 1 of John chapter 12. You there? Say amen.
Amen.
And the word of God reads, I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible translation. It says, Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving. But Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people? Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was being put into it. Therefore said Jesus, let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you don't always have me. The large crowd of the Jews then learned that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see also Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. Hallelujah. You can take your seats and stop right there. I want to talk on the subject just for a moment this morning in your hearing. When the church is what it ought to be, when the church is what it ought to be. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank thee, O Lord, for this opportunity to be in your house once again. We humbly ask for forgiveness of all of our sins, that we may be holy and acceptable in thy sight. O Lord God, our strength and redeemer who liveth. I pray now, O God, that you would touch little old me. I ask humbly for a supernatural amount of strength and energy, miraculous amount of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I pray, O God, you allow me to speak with clarity and with simplicity in such a way that even a little child might be able to understand. And God, I'd be able so carefully even now give your name all the glory, the honor, and the praise. For we walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. When the church is what it ought to be. You know, many of us feel that when the church is what it ought to be, that everything goes well. Many of us feel that when the church is what it ought to be, that we won't have any problems, any sicknesses. Nobody will talk about you. Everybody will like you. You'll get the job that you want. The children will act right. The dog won't bark. Come on, say amen if you're preaching the truth.
Amen.
Many people feel that way, but that's a sad notion to think that way. But we must understand that when the church is what it ought to be, yes, things can go well at times, but there also will be times when you will experience opposition. Is there anybody in the house who knows that there is no opportunity without opposition? We all want God to provide opportunities for us. But between the opportunity and that God has given us, there's always going to be opposition. Because the enemy is never going to allow us to freely walk up to whatever God gives us. Amen. The enemy is never going to do that. Here's the thing. If the devil was going to do that, he'd have never got kicked out of heaven. I wish I had a praying church this morning. When we understand where we are today as a church, we got to understand that the church doesn't always look like the church. Amen. Not everybody who says they're the church wants to serve God. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Not everybody who says they're the church wants to worship God. Amen. Not everybody who says they're the church wants to entertain God. Amen. I wish I had a praying church. Not everybody who says they're the church wants to be a witness for the Lord. Come on, somebody. As a matter of fact, I heard Brother Kevin mention something about politics, you know, for God to be with the politicians. All the politicians on Capitol Hill claim to be Christians, most of them anyways. But yet they can't agree on anything. I wish I had a brand church. Hallelujah, somebody. It really isn't hard. The Lord said where two or three, he made the number real small. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, he says. In agreement, he said, I'll be in the midst of it. And so anytime they want the Lord to show up on Capitol Hill, all they got to do is come together and start agreeing. And that's not. It really isn't hard. But when self gets in the way, I just stopped by to tell you just for a little while this morning that when the church ought to be what the church it ought to be, we must understand, my brothers and my sisters. Let's look at the text here. I don't want you to think I'm making anything up. But when you read chapter 11 of the Gospel according to John, when you read chapter 11, you will find that there's some amazing life's principles in that chapter about the Lord Jesus Christ, about people who experience things in their life, disappointment, discouragement, doubts, the power of God, fake, phony people. The list goes on and on and on. But you'll find that at the end of chapter 11, you'll find that in spite of the Lord Jesus Christ showing up and raising Lazarus from the dead, the chief priests have gotten upset and they want to find Jesus and they want to put him to death. They want to kill him. Because people have become more excited about Jesus than they have about the Pharisees. I wish I had a praying church. I know there's probably nobody in here, but do you every now and again find yourself getting upset when people are more excited about God than they are about you? Come on, somebody. See how quiet you got right there? But I want you to understand that they were really upset because people were giving Jesus more attention than they were giving to them. But the text says here, I'm going to give you several principles about the church. What's going to happen when the church is what the church ought to be. The text says in chapter 12, it says, Jesus Therefore, 6 days before Passover, he has come to Bethany where Lazarus is. You don't see it in this chapter. You don't see it in this particular book. But when you read the other accounts about this same story, about Mary anointing Jesus, you have to go over to Matthew chapter 26. And when you read Matthew chapter 26, beginning at the 6th verse, you'll find that they are actually in Simon the leper's house. Here, it does not say whose house they are in, but it says they are in Bethany. But Matthew reveals unto us that they are in Simon the leper's house. And the first thing I want to say about the church being what the church ought to be is, you have to be somebody who is willing to entertain Jesus. Simon the leper had been healed. He had been delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man with leprosy. Nobody wanted to be around him. Nobody wanted to get close to him out of fear that they might catch what he had. I want to stick a pin there just for a moment. You ever had experiences in your life where people looked at you funny and strange, like you had something on you, and they didn't want to get close to you because they were afraid they might catch what you got? When we fail to realize that all of us were born with the same thing. I wish I had a brand church. We were all born in sin and shaping in iniquity. But here, Simon the leper has invited Jesus to come to his house. He has invited him to come to his house because Jesus had invited Simon to come to his body. Somebody get that when you get home. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ has invited us to come. God said, whosoever will, let him come. God has invited us to come to the body of Jesus Christ to be born again, because there's no other name given amongst men under heaven whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. So we all have been invited to come through Jesus Christ. He is the door into salvation. Can I get an amen? Amen. He's the door into salvation. And we find here in the text that they are having church, but church is not at the synagogue. They are having church. It is not at the temple. They are having church at home. And I want to know, over the last year, have we learned to have church at home? Because if we didn't learn to have church at home over the last year, it's going to be hard to have church now that you're back at the building. Somebody should have shouted right there. So the text says that Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, 6 days before the Passover, he decides, I'm going to Simon the leper's house. And it's because Simon the leper had invited Jesus to come over for dinner. You know, after all that God has done for us, I want to know, are we still inviting him into our house? Come on, somebody. I want you to know that if prayer's not going on in your house, then Jesus has not been invited. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. If forgiveness is not going on in your house, Jesus has not been invited. If you can't even love those of your own household, come on, somebody. Or if you can't love others, Jesus has not been invited to your house. Come on, somebody. I wish I had a praying church. Touch your neighbor just for a moment, because I know you've been practicing at home. I know you've been slapping your sofa as you've been streaming church online. I know you've been high-fiving your chandelier because you ain't had nobody to praise God with you. But go on and tap your neighbor and say, neighbor, we need to get back to entertaining Jesus if the church is going to be what the church ought to be. Secondly, in verse 1 and verse 2b, again, Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Verse 2b says, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with Jesus. The second thing I want you to see here is that if the church is going to be what the church ought to be, you got to be somebody who is not just witnessing, but who is a witness for the Lord. Yes. I said, you got to be somebody who is a witness for the Lord. Now, the reason why I say this is because I told you that Lazarus in chapter 11 had died. Lazarus had died, and they sent for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said, Lazarus, his sickness is to bring glory to God. This is a little extra I want to throw at you this morning. There are times when God will let stuff happen in your life just so he can get the glory. Hallelujah, somebody. Just so he can get the glory. Just so he can get the glory. Just so he can get the glory. As a matter of fact, if we spend more time praising him with our lips, he wouldn't have to get the glory through our circumstances. Somebody can get that to him next week. Hallelujah. But I want you to see. Lazarus died. Jesus was sent a message. He waited. And then he went and he raised Lazarus from the dead. And the fact that he raised Lazarus from the dead, the text says that Lazarus is now in the house. Lazarus is in the house. And not only is Lazarus in the house, but Lazarus is reclining at the table. Good God Almighty. He's reclining at the table. Now, the text does not say that Lazarus is saying anything. As a matter of fact, whenever you read in the Bible about Lazarus, you never see anything recorded where Lazarus says anything. I wish I had a praying church. He does not say anything, because when you are somebody who has been dead and you've been in the grave for 4 days and you know that it was nobody but the Lord who raised you up, not only do you know that, but everybody around you know that if it had not been for the Lord on your side, you wouldn't be sitting here today. You don't have to say anything. You just need to show up at church and let somebody see what God has done in your life. Good God Almighty. I don't know about you, but I feel my helper coming on right about now. Lazarus is reclining at the table. He's not saying anything because Lazarus is a living witness. I want you to know that in spite of all the hell you have been through in your life, and you would not be sitting here today in God's house if you had not been through something. I don't know your story, but I know God don't got the glory. You would have all been through something. And the fact that you are sitting here today, you ought to touch your neighbor and say, guess what? I am the sermon.
I am the sermon.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Lazarus said, I ain't got to do no whole lot of talking because I am the sermon. Lord have mercy. We have in church today. And you notice something? When God has done something in your life, that when service is taking place, you ought to try to show up. You ought to try to show up. There's a lot of people now who's not coming back to church because some folks have gotten excited about sitting on the sofa live stream.
Amen.
But I stop by to tell you that ain't never been good enough for me.
Amen.
I want to be where the other saints are. Yeah. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together as some are in the habit of doing. Yeah. And all the more so as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Does anybody know that the Lord is soon to come? Hallelujah. First of all, you got to be a people who's entertaining Jesus. Secondly, you got to be a people who are witnessing for the Lord. Now, I said be a witness. We can always talk about the Lord, but our life needs to line up with the words that come out of our mouths.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, somebody. Yeah. Thirdly, let's back it up. Look at verse 2, the beginning of verse 2. It said, so they made him a supper there. And the text says, and Martha was serving. Thirdly, I want you to see that if the church is going to be what it ought to be, we have to be a people who are serving Jesus and others. The text says that Martha was serving. Hallelujah, somebody. She's serving. Now let me tell you something about Martha. Martha is the type of person that she likes to get stuff done. Martha is a go-getter. You know, she don't like seeing stuff halfway done. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was at the house, you know, she was serving and Mary was not helping her. And she said, Lord, why don't you make her help me? And the Lord told her, said, Martha, Mary has chosen the best part, the good part. But he did not tell Martha to stop serving. He did not tell her to stop serving. And there's a whole lot of people who will come and who will sit down like Mary and listen to the word, but they'll never serve. See, we missed that in the text. We missed that. There are people who would talk about how the program didn't go so well. There are people who would talk about how the choir missed the notes. There are people who would talk about the ushers are disrespectful. But yet ain't nobody trying to join the usher boards. Ain't nobody trying to get in the choir. Ain't nobody wanting to print off programs. I wish I had a praying church. We need to be somebody who's willing to serve Jesus and others. The text says that Martha was serving. It was something that she loved to do. It was her calling. She loved to serve. She liked seeing things done right. She liked seeing things done well, because she realized that sometimes if she didn't do it, it just wouldn't get done. Hallelujah. The fourth thing I want you to see, watch this. Here it is. It's in the text. Look with me in verse 3. It says, Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Fourthly, if the church is going to be what it ought to be, we need to be a people who get back to worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Now, the emphasis is on spirit and in truth, because when we talk about Mary here, what Mary is doing is Mary is worshiping Jesus. And she's worshiping Jesus because she takes a very expensive perfume. We believe that the perfume may have at the time been very rare. It would have come from India. It was very expensive. As a matter of fact, you're going to find out earlier that there were some people in the house who knew just how expensive it was. The perfume was so expensive that it would have taken a year's wage in order to afford it. Now, whatever your yearly salary is, I want you to think about this for a moment. Whatever your yearly salary is, I want you to think about that. That's what the perfume costs. And in order for you to break it and to pour it on Jesus, it would cost you a whole year's salary. Now, that's worship that's over the top. That's worship that goes above and beyond. And so what I'm trying to tell you this morning is, yes, God expects us to worship him over the top. He expects us to worship him above and beyond. Just a little hand pat every now and then ain't enough worship for God. Because after all he has done for us, after all he did by sending Jesus to suffer, bleed, and die on Calvary's cross, had the nerve enough to lay there for 3 days, and then get up early one Sunday morning, we owe him more than a temporary hand clap of praise. Her worship was over the top. She was like, I'm giving him all that I got. I'm giving him my best. It's over the top. It's above. It's beyond. And you know how it is on Sunday morning. If you happen to be a worshiper, somebody who loves to praise God, you know, when the word get good and you can't sit in your seat, you just got to stand up every now and then, especially the ladies, you know, in the church when they wear them big hats. They just got to stand up and they got to clap their hands, and folks sitting behind them talking about, oh, they just sit down. I'm telling you, it happens in church. It happens in church. Folks will stand up and praise God. And I want you to understand that here's the key to standing up and praising God and giving him glory in spite of who's looking at you. In spite of who's looking at you. When you think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he has done for you, when you look back over your life and you realize you were in the hospital for 9 days, and if the Lord had not spoke a word in your life, if the Lord had not showed up at Culpeper Regional Hospital and touched you, you would have never got up off your bed. As a matter of fact, it would have been your cooling board, and the walls would have been your grave. When you think about that, and then you realize, here I am, sitting in God's house, clothed in my right mind, with a reasonable portion of health and strength. Somebody said, he's a chain breaker. Come on, somebody. He's a mind fixer. That's when your legs start to straighten out, when you start to rise up on your feet, and you don't think about who's sitting to your left or to your right. You just know who's above you, and that is God Almighty. And that's where Mary was. Mary's at the place right now where she realized, when I think about the goodness of Jesus, my brother sitting over there reclining at the table, it was not too long ago when he was in the grave and his body was stinking, but because of that man, Jesus, he's sitting at the table. I ain't worried about how much the perfume costs. I'm going to break it open. And the reason why she broke it open was because it wasn't going to be used on nobody else. I'm going to stick a pin right there. Do you have anything in your body, in your life, that you have reserved for nobody but Jesus? Let me tell you something I've reserved for nobody but him. Glory is reserved for nobody but God. My praise is reserved for nobody but God. Hallelujah is reserved for nobody but God. There's some stuff in your life you got to break open so nobody else can use it but God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. With all that is within me, I will bless his holy name. But I want you to understand, saints, when the church is entertaining Jesus, witnessing for the Lord, serving Jesus and others, and worshiping God like we ought to, everything still ain't going to go the way we want to. Amen. It's in the text. Look with me in verses 4 through 6. Watch this. Here she is, worshiping God. Here Simon is, entertaining Jesus. And here Lazarus is, being a witness for the Lord. Here Martha is, serving Jesus and others. And then in verse 4, it says, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, Lord have mercy, who was intending to betray Jesus, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people? Now, He said not this, not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. Touch your neighbor and say, a thief. The fifth thing I want you to see is that when the church is being the church, the enemy is always going to object. I wish I had a praying church. And in other words, you ever been in a church meeting when folks are talking about feeding the poor? And first thing somebody asks is, how much is all that going to cost? I wish I had a praying church. I wish somebody had been in church for longer than 2 or 3 days who knew what it was like to be in a church meeting trying to get certain things approved when it comes to helping somebody. And then somebody always want to speak up against you. I wish I had a praying church. Hallelujah. There's always somebody in the crowd. And the Bible says that Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' disciples. Now that means that Judas walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. But yet, when Jesus' program was placed on the table, he objected. I wish I had a praying church. He objected. He said, we should have taken this and we should have used this money to feed the poor. Yeah, it sounds good. It sounds like he wanted to feed the poor. But guess what? I don't care what you try to do for the poor. If you don't put Jesus first, nothing that you do for the poor is going to last. I wish I had a praying church. But here Judas is. The text makes it very clear. I said the enemy objects because the text says he didn't say this because he cared about the poor in verse 6. He said this because he was a thief, good God Almighty, and he had the money box. And not only did he have the money box, but he was dipping in the money box and using some of the money and taking it for himself. Good God Almighty. That's what the text says about Judas, that he's an enemy. So when the church is being what the church ought to be, you're still going to have an enemy that's going to object. You're still going to have times when people are going to speak against what the Lord has called you to do. Let's look at verse 7 and 8. I'm going on to number 6. I'm just about finished. Verse 7 and 8 says this. It says, now, therefore, Jesus said, let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you don't always have the poor with you. He said, for you will always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. The thing I want you to see here in verse 7 and 8, number 6, is that when the church is being what the church ought to be, Jesus will always defend us.
Yes.
There are people who may not like you. There are people who may rise up against you. But if you're being who God has called you to be, I want you to know that we have a God who will defend you.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. David said, when my enemies rose up against me, hallelujah. It said, when they came up against me, it said, God caused them to stumble and they fell. And I want you to know that he'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Oh, yes, he will. David said, he anointed my head with oil. He said, my cup runneth over. And then here's the part. Here's the kicker verse. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Touch your neighbor and say, just be who God called you to be. And he will defend you.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I'm almost finished. Look with me in verse 9. Verse 9 says, watch this. It says, the large crowd of the Jews, they learned that he was there, capital H, that Jesus was there. And they came not just for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus. And one of the things that we've learned at Hopewell in chapter 11, that when you see the capital J in Jews, that is a mixed crowd. In other words, you have, we're going to talk about that a little bit later on today, but you have people who are there for the right reasons.
Yes.
And then you have those who are there for the wrong reasons.
Yes.
And I know this is going to shock some of you, but even when it comes to the church, we got some people who show up for the right reasons. And then we have some who show up for the wrong reasons. We have some who leave with notes on the sermon. And then we have some who leave with notes on what you want in church. I wish I had a praying church. Somebody should have shouted right there. You may not know it, but my folk leave with notes about you. She was frowning today. I wonder what was wrong with her. Why she wear that dress? It sure was that. I'm telling you, it was a mixed crowd. And you're about to find out here in just a second. But the text says that the crowd learned that Jesus was there.
And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus. I want you to see here that when the church is being what the church ought to be, people will see the works of God and believe. They will see the works of God and believe. Just keep being a witness. Just keep serving. Just keep entertaining Jesus. Just keep worshiping Him. And sooner or later, somebody's going to see the works of God in your life. And they will believe that God is God.
Amen.
They will believe that there is a Savior. Hallelujah, somebody. And so there are people who are coming because they've heard about Lazarus, that Jesus is in the house and he done raised a man from the dead. And there's no denying it because he's in the house. Now I want to stick a pin right there. Y'all ought to shout right here. We need to understand that every one of us sitting here today, that there are people who come to church to see us. The reason why they come to see us is because guess what? Just like Lazarus, we were dead. Not physically, but spiritually.
Amen.
He has quickened us.
Yes.
We were dead in trespasses and in sins, but Jesus has quickened us through his spirit, made us alive. Everybody sitting here today was spiritually dead,
Amen.
But God quickened us. He made us alive. And every time somebody walks in the church, you need to realize that you are a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. You might not be able to quote a scripture verse. You might not be able to understand what the Bible is saying. But you need to know that you are a witness for the Lord because you once were dead, but now you are alive. And people are coming. I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, there were people who saw me and they said, oh my God. They said, if God could save you, he can save anybody. I wish I had a praying church. I ain't always been in the pulpit. I used to do some stuff back in the day. And if the truth be told, some of us still doing some stuff. But I want you to know that there are some people, when they look at us, and if they see that God can change us, then God can change them. And it causes them to take a look at this thing called salvation. I'm getting ready to go home. I'm almost finished. But I want you to see here, my brothers and my sisters. It says in verse 10 and 11, it says, but the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to tell you is that when the church is being what it ought to be, there's going to be some opposition. I said there's going to be some opposition. You see, there's a difference between objection and opposition. Because you see, people can object to what you want to do in the church, but they never act against you. But when there's opposition, that's when they start plotting against you. The text says that the church right here is experiencing opposition. Here Lazarus has not bothered anybody. He's not outspoken. He's very quiet. He's reclining at the table. He's letting Mary and Martha and he's letting Judas do all the talking. He ain't got nothing to say. He just want to be in the number. But here they are meeting at the house wanting to put Lazarus to death because he's a testimony of God's goodness. Wanting to put Lazarus to death because he's a testimony of God's healing. Wanting to put Lazarus to death because he's a testimony that God can make a way out of no way. Wanting to put Lazarus to death because he's a testimony that if you just call on Jesus, he might not come when you want him, but he'll always be on time. He's a testimony that God can do all things but faith. And I want you to know that the reason why we experience opposition in our lives is because when you're being what the church ought to be, the world ain't gonna like us. Because the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Amen.
So saints, when the church is being what it ought to be, we'll get back to entertaining Jesus. Inviting him into our house. Not just letting him come into the church house, but we're bringing him into our house. Secondly, we'll witness for the Lord. If we can't quote scripture, live the life. Thirdly, we'll serve Jesus and others. Stop thinking we can serve God, but then can't serve our brothers and sisters.
Amen.
How can you say you love a God whom you've never seen, but yet hate your brother and your sister whom you see every day? If the church is going to be what it ought to be, we'll get back to worshiping God. Give him our very best. He's worth it. We'll realize and never forget that the enemy's always going to object. When you're doing what God called you to do, the enemy's going to object. But remember, Jesus will defend you. God will defend you. He's got your back.
Amen.
If you don't believe me, read Ephesians chapter 6. It says, put on the whole armor of God. It talks about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. It talks about the belt of truth, shod on your feet with the preparation of the gospel. All that is for the front. There's nothing for the back. Because no man putting his hands in the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So you ain't got to worry about your back, what the enemy's going to do to your back, because God's got your back. He just wants you to face it. So therefore, also know that people will see the works of God and they will believe. And then lastly, you will experience opposition. Hallelujah. Give God a hand clap of praise. At this time, Brother Kevin, is there anyone here who's never been born again? Is there anybody in the house who does not know Jesus? Who's never been born again? Who's never accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior? Hallelujah. If your souls are well with the Lord, then just give him a hand clap of praise. If your souls are well with the Lord, amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. At this time, we're going to move forward with the Holy Communion. Amen. The Holy Communion. We get our instructions. Hallelujah. We get our instructions from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 30. You also find in the gospel. The Apostle Paul said, as I received the Lord Jesus Christ, so give I unto thee. On the same night when the Lord was betrayed, he said, take this cup, drink of it. He said, for you do, and then he said, take this bread and eat of it, for you do show the Lord's death until he returns. But Paul also went on to say, before you eat of this bread, before you drink this cup, he says, let a man examine himself. And he says, making sure that you're in the faith, not discerning the Lord's body. He said, for this cause, he said, many are weakly among you, and many are sick. He said, and many do sleep. And then he said, if any man be hungry, he said, let him eat at home. And what was happening was there were people who were showing up to take communion. They weren't waiting for everybody to do it in unity. Food was being served, and they were partaking before others arrived. And so what he says, this is about unity. It's to commemorate his death and his suffering on the cross and his love for all of us. Actions speaks louder than words. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. We're going to say a word of prayer. Father, we ask that you would bless the juice and that you would bless the bread that are both symbolic to your blood and to your body that was battered and bruised on Calvary's cross. Forgive us for all of our sins. Please cause us to be in a spiritual condition. We ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. We all prepared to eat and to drink together. Let us eat and drink together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.